Well, good morning, and please keep that open in front of you if you have it there on page 976. A short prayer. Our gracious God, we pray that the Lord Jesus, who spoke these words in Galilee, would speak them again into our hearts this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Well, our focus today is on how we respond to Jesus Christ. If you like, it's how we reply to the invitation which Christ gives us in the Gospels. Over the past few weeks, we've been learning in Matthew's Gospel about the early ministry of Jesus in Galilee, in the north of Israel. These were wonderful times. Times of power and compassion with Jesus' healing miracles. And times of teaching, as Jesus was explaining to the crowds that now he had come, they could enter the kingdom of God. They could know God's love and care for themselves, if only they would respond to him. And in today's reading, which James gave us, Jesus challenges his hearers to do just that, to respond to him. Nothing could be more important than this. If you're invited to a party, first, you must reply and say yes. If someone offers you a dream job, you need to accept it. If someone throws you a lifeline, first you must grab hold of it. So also with the invitation that Christ gives us to life with God, we must respond personally to him. Really, our whole baptism service is about our response to Jesus as parents and godparents. Speak of the response which we pray little Rory and little Freya will make for themselves in due time. And now in our sermon we think more about what that response really means. There are two parts to this morning's reading. The first is Jesus' stern warning, and the second is Jesus' gentle invitation. So let's think about them in turn. Firstly, Jesus' stern warning. Jesus warns, don't hear without repenting. Let me explain what that means, but his warning is, don't hear without repenting. The start of the reading in verse 20. Jesus began to denounce, that is to warn, the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed because they did not repent. Now these cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, they had seen Jesus cleanse lepers and raise paralyzed men, and open the eyes of the blind. They'd seen amazing miracles that showed that Jesus was God's Messiah. But despite all that they'd seen, they would not repent. They would not turn back to God to live for him. And to help them understand how serious this is, Jesus says in verse 21, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you." Now this is a stern warning indeed, but Jesus speaks this way because he loves them. Now Chorazin and Bethsaida were respectable Israelite towns, whereas Tyre and Sidon were pagan cities who had no interest in God whatsoever. But Jesus says, shockingly, on the day of judgment, there's a danger that it will be worse for Chorazin and Bethsaida than for those pagan cities, Tyre and Sidon. Why? Because Chorazin and Bethsaida had seen Jesus' miracles, but they would not respond. He says the same thing in verse 23. "And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." Again, Capernaum, a respectable Israelite town. Sodom, infamous for its immorality. But Jesus says the day of judgment will be worse for respectable Capernaum, because they had seen so much, but not turned back to God. Now, someone has said, with great power comes great responsibility. And I think that's quite right. But Jesus' point here is with great privilege comes great responsibility. And that's right too, isn't it? The people of these cities had seen the miracles of Christ. What a privilege. But they wanted to live for themselves and not for God. And so they would not repent. What a responsibility. And so the warning today is not actually for those outside the church. It's for those in it. The saddest people on the day of judgment won't be the professors of atheism or the residents of Soho or Vegas. No, the saddest people on that day will be those who've heard the message of Jesus week after week, but who would not repent. With great privilege comes great responsibility. So what does it actually mean to repent? Well, it means more than just feeling sorry for our sins, although it starts with that. Literally, it is to turn around. It is to turn from ignoring and disobeying God back to honouring and obeying him. I repent when, for example, I kneel by my bed and say to Jesus, Lord, whatever good you are for, I am for. Whatever sin you're against, I'm against. Help me by your Spirit to live for you. That's what God wants us to do. It's how we respond to Christ. It's how we go on responding to Christ. You see, the Christian believer is not marked by perfection. Sadly, we still sin. No, we're marked by ongoing repentance. We make that prayer our ongoing attitude. Well, maybe you didn't know that this was what God calls for. It gives us a lot to consider. But the warning today is for those who do know these things. Don't make the terrible mistake of those cities, the mistake of hearing, but not repenting. So that's Jesus' stern warning. Let's turn now in the second part of our reading to Jesus' gentle invitation. And I want to focus on verse 28 and following, where this invitation comes. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For 2,000 years, this invitation has been a gateway to life and peace with God for countless millions. It's a greater privilege than an invitation to Buckingham Palace. It's more rewarding than an invitation to join the board of directors. It's more refreshing than an invitation to a week at the spa. Because Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. I don't know if you've seen those pictures of soldiers training on exercise with a rucksack full of huge stones. Well, just as those stones weigh down the soldier, there are many things which can burden us in life. I'm going to try and demonstrate this visually. First, there's the stone of worries. Concern for our children, our health, our family finances can wear us out, keep us up at night, and weigh us down. The stone of worries. Careful, John. Also, there's the stone of our sins. Our sins burden us with guilt. Until they're forgiven, they separate us from relationship with God. That is a burden indeed. They hurt us and others, and they trap us in patterns of wrongdoing that we can't escape. That's the stone of our sins. Also, the stone of expectations, of other people's expectations. We can feel like people, maybe even God, will only accept us if we live up to their expectations, if we're successful enough, if we're happy enough, if we're beautiful enough. Actually, that expectation can be a great burden as well. Well, to a world weighed down with these stones, Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Put that back there. Rest in the Bible, you see, is the peace that comes from being in a right relationship with God. Christ says, come to me and I will take the stone of your worries. You'll know that I'm looking after you and working for your good in all things. That's the rest of knowing Christ's care. And he says, come to me, I will take the stone of your sins. He died to pay the penalty for us, so that we can be totally free from their guilt and more free from their power. That's the rest of knowing Christ's forgiveness. And he says, come to me and give me the stone of other people's expectations. Because he says, I will accept you just as you are. You never need to do anything to earn my love. And that's the rest of knowing Christ's grace. This is the rest that Christ gives in this life. And in eternity, he brings believers into the saints' eternal rest. Rest from all that pains and wearies us in heaven. Well, Jesus tells us here how to accept his gentle invitation. We need only to come to him, verse 28, and take his yoke upon us, verse 29. To come to Christ means to leave our burdens with him and humbly ask him to take them from us. But what does it mean to take his yoke? It's got nothing to do with eggs. The yoke is the beam that farmers use to direct their oxen. So to take Christ's yoke is to let him direct our lives. In other words, to pray that prayer to him. Lord, whatever good you are for, I am for. Whatever sin you're against, I'm against. Help me by your Spirit to live for you. And Christ says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is, to turn to him, it never burdens us. To live for him is life at its best, the life we were made for. So we've been thinking this morning about the most important issue of all, about how we respond to Christ. We've heard Jesus' stern warning, don't hear without repenting. And we've heard Jesus' gentle invitation to come to him for rest. Now, there are many ways of responding to a party invitation when it drops through your letterbox. You can throw it in the bin. You could write a letter of acceptance. Or you can phone them and say, I'll have to get back to you about this. Well, those are the same ways of responding to Jesus' invitation. Some of us might say, no, I will bear my own burdens. But with a burden of sin still on our back, we're not ready to meet our Maker. Others will say, I need to think more about this. I need to hear more about God, about Christianity, before I can respond. Well, if so, please join us again on Sundays. It's very important. Our Sunday services here at St. Mary's are not just for the convinced believer. They're also for those thinking how to respond. Others of us have come to Christ in the past and received the rest he gives. Our problem is that we start to take up the rocks again ourselves. We forget that Christ has taken our worries, our sins, the burden of other people's expectations. Well, we need to remember that we enjoy the rest of his care, his forgiveness, and his grace. Or maybe there's somebody here who wants to respond personally to Jesus' invitation today. It is the best thing you could ever do. In a moment, I'll lead us in a short prayer, which we can echo in the quietness of our own hearts, to RSVP to the King of Kings. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We come to you now. Please take the burden of our worries and our sin. And we turn to you as Lord of our lives. Whatever good you are for, we are for. Whatever sin you're against, we're against. Help us by your Spirit to live for you. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus never turns away those who come to him. If that is your prayer today, you might like to have a word with me, and I can point you in the right direction.